In the summer months of July and August, we have our associate pastors preach. This is part of our commitment here at Grace to equip leaders at all levels of ministry. We want to develop and end in ministry. And I think that Pastor Rusty and Pastor Jason are really growing and developing, and I'm glad to give them an opportunity to be equipped for the kingdom of God and His glory in the days to come. Pastor Jason and Amy had a tough week this past week with little Ethan. That's why I'm preaching today. Ethan didn't come on schedule. He was born a little later than expected, and he's been struggling this week with high fever and with jaundice and having to go back some daily visits to the hospital. Anyway, I'm glad to report that as of yesterday, he is doing much, much better. So let's keep the Espositos in our prayers. Can you imagine that? Three boys under the age of two. Well, in all of this, I see God working. I see His hand in my preaching this unplanned sermon. Because you see, this message this morning is where He has me living right now. This message is for me. There are a lot of things that have caused some pressure and distress on me in these days. We're having a financial cash flow problem at the church right now. Our year-to-date giving is 18% above what it was last year, but our expenses are up 27%. There are a lot of extra pressures with the new building and building expenses. There are a few of you, and hopefully it's only a few of you, that are unhappy with me and my leadership. As your pastor, I hurt for some of you and at times am overwhelmed by you, my sheep's personal pain and brokenness that you go through, the deep needs that some of you are experiencing right now. So what do I do? What do you do when it feels like you're walking through a wilderness, when it's hot and barren and you're fatigued and it's not easy? What do we do? Well, what we do is we come and we drink deeply of the living water of the Holy Spirit to refresh us, to renew us, to sustain us as we walk forward. And this morning, what I want us to do is to look at three passages about the Holy Spirit as water. As our living water, our life spring, John 7, John 4, and Jeremiah 2. And then listen, at the end of the service, we want to have an open altar of prayer and do Isaiah 55, 1, which says, come and drink. We want to come at the end of the service and drink of the Spirit. And I tell you what, I'll be there this morning. Altars of prayer, we want to develop periodic open altars of prayer as a culture of our church. Because at Grace Church, we want to be a house of prayer. We want to experience God on Sunday morning. And an altar of prayer helps us do these things. So would you take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to John chapter 7. If you're using a Bible in the pew in front of you, you'll find that on page 1058, John chapter 7. I'll begin reading from verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to this time, the Spirit had not been given. Jesus had been glorified. Now the context of this passage is one of the Jewish feast. that Jesus and his disciples were attending. They were attending the Feast of Tabernacles, or sometimes called the Feast of Booths. This feast commemorated how God had provided for and led the children of Israel through the wilderness when they left Egypt. Now, during this seven-day feast, the people lived in booths, in tabernacles, made of branches from palm trees and willow trees. And what they were doing was commemorating that they lived in temporary shelters while they went through the wilderness. Now, each day of this feast, the priest would go down to the pool of Siloam. And there he would take a bowl and dip it into the pool, and then he would march in procession with the priest and people behind him. They would march in procession from the pool of Siloam to the temple. And there at the temple, he would take that bowl of water that he was carrying, and he would pour it out on the altar. And that was an act of worship that acknowledged that God was the provider. It acknowledged a spirit of thankfulness for what God had given them. It was a continued dependence of asking God for more and more of his provisions. Well, on the last day of the feast, the climactic day of the feast, with this water in context in mind, as the priest in procession are marching with this bowl of water, the scripture says Jesus stands up and with a loud voice cries out and says, if any of you out there are thirsty, if you need provision, come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from within you. And then it's important to look at verse 39. He applies this to the Holy Spirit. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And later is referenced to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to believers. So from Pentecost to today, and until Jesus Christ comes again, the Holy Spirit indwells us. He lives inside of everyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, think about that. The Holy Spirit of the Godhead living inside of me. His work in me, which is applying the new life of Christ. That's what the Spirit does. He takes the new life of Christ and he makes it work in me. This work of the Spirit in me, Jesus said, is like a stream of living water flowing inside of me. And no matter what the wilderness might be, no matter how it feels on the outside, the truth here is that I have a water source inside of me to refresh me, to renew me, and to sustain me. Now, let's stay here a little bit and get into the mindset of biblical people. Biblical people lived in an arid place. And we need to understand that much of their life and their thoughts and their activities revolved around wells and springs. I might even say that water obsessed them, because they were in a semi-arid desert type of place. Now, today here in Racine, Wisconsin, we don't value water like they did. We live on Lake Michigan. We have all of the water we need. I don't think they could ever imagine a Lake Michigan. In fact, sometimes we get upset with water when we get too much rain. Our May, they said, was one of the rainiest in history here in Racine. I despise water when I go golfing. About 40% of the time, it's plunk. There it goes, right into the water. And the other 60%, it intimidates me. And so I hook it or I slice it. The biblical people longed for water. It was their precious life source in that dry, arid land that they lived in. And so in our personal, dry, arid wilderness, in the hard, draining experiences of life, we long for water also. We long for living water of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will be a stream of living water flowing on the inside. On the outside, the circumstances may be wilderness, but inside I can be refreshed and renewed and sustained as I drink deeply of the Spirit. And so we long. We long for something inside. When it's not going well and it's arid on the outside. And today Jesus says, drink deeply of the living water, of the stream of life of the Holy Spirit within you. Take your Bibles and turn back to John chapter 4. Start reading at verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herd?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, these verses are a part of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman. He and his disciples were passing through Samaria, and Jesus was tired, so he sat down by Jacob's well while his disciples went into town to get some food. This woman comes to the well to draw from it. And Jesus engages her in a marvelous dialogue that ends up in her trusting Jesus as her personal Savior. And because of her testimony, many other Samaritans also believe. He asked her for a drink of water. She's taken back. "How can you, a Jewish man, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for some water?" And this leads to telling her about living water. Verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Living water, eternal life, the life of Christ in us is applied to us by the Holy Spirit as we drink deeply of the Spirit. Now that's the most important statement in the message today. Living water, eternal life, the life of Christ is applied to us, made real and active in our lives by the Holy Spirit as we drink deeply of the Holy Spirit in us. We're talking about internal life. It's about the life of the soul and the spirit where real life is lived. Life of the soul and the spirit is about fulfillment and well-being and joy and peace. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I've come that you might have life and have it to its fullest." That you might have life more abundantly. The inner life that is full and abundant. That's where real life is lived, on the inside. And he says in this verse that it will be a spring of water welling up. In other words, the source never dries up. The New Living Translation says it will be a perpetual spring inside of you. About 30 years ago, my dad and my mom moved from the Panama Canal Zone and settled in the piney woods of East Texas. And Dad went there and developed some land out of the woods to live on and to farm. And he called this place Springwater Farm. For his water, for the house and his gardens, he didn't dig a well, but what he did too was tapped into a spring. Behind the house, down the hill, is a spring. And it had plenty of water for all of their needs. A clear, cool spring. Now, they've over the years experienced some droughts in East Texas. But the spring has never stopped flowing. There has always been plenty of cool, refreshing water for all of their needs, regardless of the changing circumstances of the weather. We need to tap in to the spring of living water, into the inner life of the Spirit, the inner life, the life of Spirit-filled living. We need to drink deeply of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to stop quenching the Spirit, to stop grieving the Spirit. There is plenty of water there. It's what we need to refresh us, to renew us, to sustain us in the droughts and the wildernesses of life. Inside, where it really counts, we will flourish as we drink deeply of the Spirit in our inner life. Now, the problem is that we end up going to other wells to drink, to other sources to quench our thirst, to get refreshed, and we get renewed. So, number two this morning, we need to stop drinking from other wells. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah says in verse 13 of chapter 2, this is on page 747 if you're using your Pew Bible, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Two sins. Don't be guilty of these this morning. Sin number one, they've forsaken God, who is the only spring of living water. The Holy Spirit applies living water to our lives in salvation and in sanctification. In salvation, you forsake God by turning your... You don't surrender your life to Him who is the only spring of living water. If there's anyone here this morning who has turned their back on God, accept Him today as your personal Savior. In sanctification, as believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, we grieve the Holy Spirit in disobedience. When we forsake God's way and do it our way, and what we need to do is to confess and turn away from our sinful choices and our bad attitudes. Sin number two, according to Jeremiah 2:13. Not only have we forsaken God in salvation and in sanctification, but instead of drinking the living water, we've gone out and we've started digging our own wells and cisterns. Now, a cistern was a holding tank. They were plastered on the inside so they could hold water. These wells, these cisterns that we're out there digging don't work. They have leaks in them. And some of you are going out there and drinking of these wells and cisterns that you have built yourself. Some of us this morning are drinking from shallow wells. In arid lands, shallow pools and shallow streams and shallow wells only have water when it rains. There are people drinking from shallow wells of the soul today. Only when circumstances are going good my way do you feel great, happy, and on top of the world. But when the going gets rough, you dry up on the inside. You have no inner strength and joy and peace for the real life of hard times. You drink from a shallow well of the soul that's only filled with the occasional rain of good circumstances. Some of us this morning are drinking from dirty, polluted wells. If you leave a well uncovered, you'll get a lot of trash and dirt in it. I remember many years ago going to my aunt's house who lived on a farm in East Texas, and she had one of those wells with a pulley where you drop a bucket down and bring the water up. And she always kept it covered to keep the trash and the dirt and the junk out of her well. Nowadays, toxic waste is polluting our wells. Some of you have lives that are uncovered. Your hearts, your inner souls are unguarded, and the values of the world are falling into the well of your soul. Things like success and power and materialism and comfort and pleasure and entertainment, these values of the world are falling into your uncovered and unguarded soul, and you drink to it from this well, and you're polluted by the values of the world, and it's not satisfying you, and you're staying thirsty. Some of you have wells of the inner life that are polluted by the toxic waste of secret hidden sins, bitter spirit, an addiction, a hard, unloving heart. Drinking this toxic waste is going to make you spiritually sick. And some of you this morning are drinking from broken cisterns that can't hold water. You go out and you get your shovel and you start digging. You build these cisterns to hold water, to nourish your inner soul, to give you meaning and fulfillment and joy and peace, to refresh you. You say, I'm going to go find something. I'm going to dig my own well, my own cistern, so I can drink of this water to satisfy my inner soul. And one guy in our Wednesday men's small group say, I had everything. I had money. I had things and material things. I had family. But I was empty and unsatisfied, thirsty on the inside. I gave my life to Jesus. We take our shovels and we dig and build our cisterns of materialism. Maybe this will give me some sense of joy and fulfillment. And we drink of that cistern for a while, but it leaks. So we get our shovel out again and we go and we start building another well, building another cistern. This time of pleasure, I'll get hobbies, and I'll entertain myself, and I'll have fun in life. And we drink of that, and the cistern leaks. It doesn't give us that inner joy and satisfaction. So we take our shovels, and we go build some other cisterns and wells, cisterns of addictions. That doesn't work, so I try to go and find it in relationships, and that doesn't work, so I try to find it in status and power. That doesn't work, so I try to find it in my job and fulfillment. Listen, they all leak. They can't hold living water. They can't hold the water that will quench the thirst of the soul. Only in drinking deeply of the spring of living water of the Holy Spirit can we find that kind of satisfaction. We recently had a family reunion with Jane's family in Northern California. And one of those days we went out rafting. Now, not whitewater rafting. This was sort of calm down this mountain stream. It was really a small river near Lake Tahoe. It was a beautiful, warm day. I was in the back of the raft trying to navigate it as eight people sat in the raft. And I ended up working up a sweat. So we stopped on the edge of this river and we got out and had a swim to sort of refresh ourselves. Now, it was cool, but it wasn't frigid. And so I was hot and sweaty, and I jumped into this water. And as I came out, I was just refreshed. And as I came out of the water, I quoted one of my favorite authors, John Piper, and I said out loud, "God is like a mountain spring." Well, one of the extended family who was there and heard this, and who is very agnostic, said to me, "You know, sometimes mountain springs dry up." I looked back at her and nicely said, "Well, God doesn't. The spring of living water in Jesus Christ, applied in our lives as we drink the Holy Spirit, never dries up. It is sufficient for all of life, even when it feels like a wilderness. God is like a mountain spring that never dries up." In conclusion this morning, Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come this morning and drink deeply of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said is the stream of living water in you. Come and drink by coming to the open altar of prayer." Some of you this morning might need to come and for the first time commit your life and surrender to Jesus Christ. If you do that, please let us know. Fill out that card in the pew in front of you and mail it to us. Some of you need to come and drink by quietly being still and listening to the Spirit. As you bow, be open and listen. What does He want to say to you? Some of you come to drink by enjoying and savoring the Holy Spirit in worship, and your coming and drinking is just to say, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." And savor the goodness of God. Some of you need to come and drink by confessing and repenting of your disobedience. You need to stop grieving the Spirit. And some of us need to come and drink and let Him fill us up. Ask Him to give us what we need. What do you need today? Peace, wisdom, joy, hope, help in your difficulty? Well, kneel there with your hands open to God in surrender and in a position to receive. And come and drink and let Him fill you up. Come. Isaiah 55:1 says, "All who are thirsty, come to the waters." Now, I'm going to be there this morning. And may I say, may no one leave this place today thirsty. If you do, it's your own fault. Come and drink of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we repent of the cisterns and wells that we've tried to build that don't hold any water that we've been drinking of. And we want to come today and drink deeply of the Spirit and let Him apply the life of Christ and let Him be a well spring within inside of us, a stream of living water bubbling up to satisfy whatever our needs and our thirst are today. So Spirit, come and draw us to that place. Draw us deeply to that place and help us drink of You this morning. Dear Lord, what we really, really want today for every person here is to experience You. And to be satisfied in You. Help us now in this altar of prayer. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.